Welcome to the Leadership U podcast.
Support for Leadership U comes from Patridos. Listen, if you're looking for trendy, comfortable, and eco-friendly clothing, this place is for you. I personally love the hats and sweaters from here. I'm actually wearing both right now. The designs are cool and have a little bit of a minimalist style. It's super trendy and comfy. I'm all about it. But they don't just have apparel. They have home goods, art, and lots of other stuff. Baba, I know you're a fan of the mugs. We love all the products and are big fans. And with worldwide shipping, you can order from anywhere on the planet. You can find them online at www.patridos.com. That's www.patridos.com. Leadership U podcast listeners get 10% off their first order with promo code PODCAST. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Leadership U podcast. This is your host, Christina. And I'm sorry to say it, but my dad is a little bit under the weather. So with that loss, I have the extraordinary honor to introduce our special guest host today. So my dad made sure to tell me to say to you guys, the audience, that this gentleman is the greatest example of servant leadership he has ever known. And I have to say, I 100% agree with him. So let me give you a quick introduction. We have Coach James Bonds with us. And Coach Bonds is a husband, father, and grandfather. He is the founder and CEO of WellDrivenLife.com, which is an online environment for people to experience engaging, honest, and unbiased life-changing and motivational content. He uses his past experience in senior management positions for companies like Sam's Club, Best Buy, Pep Boys, and CompUSA. And he was a dealer partner also with Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and Audi car dealers. So he has a rich background. But Coach Bonds encourages people to adopt a lifestyle that leads to health and wellness in every area. And on a more personal note, he is a very dear friend of our family. We consider him family. So welcome to the podcast, Coach Bonds. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. It's an honor to be here. The Angelicus family has been just, incredible spiritual support and incredible personal and mental support as well. So I definitely appreciate the opportunity to be here and miss you guys in person. It's been a while, but I still keep in contact via text, but it's just awesome to see you guys in person.
It is. It's really nice. We're doing this over video chat right now as recording because Coach Bonds is in Texas and we're over here in Florida. So it's nice to see you face to face. That made my heart so happy.
Yes. Thank you. Same here.
Well, given your background, Coach, we really wanted to bring you on to share your expertise with our listeners. And that's why we're really excited today. Our topic is going to be coaching your followers. So a lot of our audience members are leaders. And as leaders, sometimes when we're working with our team, we think about the end result maybe or goals very focused, but we don't always think about coaching our followers. So that's what we wanted to talk about today. But before we get started, we like to start with a little icebreaker question. So Coach, yes. My question for you is, what is a small act of kindness that you were once shown that you'll never forget?
Small act of kindness I was once shown. Actually, recently here, it may be kind of an awesome people for me. A cousin called me and asked me to eulogize my cousin. And who I hadn't seen like 30 years. And so as I sat and prayed and the Holy Spirit led me and I was writing down things and recalling memories of things that when her and I talked, she was shocked. And the reason why I was acting kindness to me is because when this whole thing went down and took us over, she was sitting there, we were just talking. And she said, do you realize this is the first time that all six of your sisters have heard you preach?
Wow.
I'm like, wow, first time. And then she says, also, I know you were telling me because like when I was in Global University, when I was there, It was very important. One of the professors was saying about when you do a eulogy, you have to make sure that you say the right thing, the proper thing. I was not the proper thing. So because my cousin had just came back to the Lord about 5 years ago, it was just an honor to let people know at the end of the day, he's resting and where he is now compared to the other place we could be. So it was an honor to be able to share that message and to make it very plain, but also make it very, then also at the end, doing it twice, I did twice actually, called to the Lord twice, because I know that a lot of people had saw his life being just, you know, he was addict for a while, of course, alcoholic and all that, but his parents raised him the right way, young age. But my sermon was like, there's no nice people in heaven.
Wow.
And so they had to catch on to it. It's like, only saved people. And so I broke that down to them, and I used 1 Corinthians and talked about love. Yeah, you got to make sure. We got to know that it's different. But that was the act of kindness. I couldn't ask her for any other gift in my lifetime because of the fact of the family was there, and then I had a chance to make sure my cousin, people understood where he was, but who he belongs to.
Wow. That's so beautiful. Oh, I'm so proud of you. It's a heavy burden to do a eulogy. You know, it is a big responsibility. Like your professor was saying, like you have to say the right things.
That's right. That's right. But
also, I didn't know you had 6 sisters.
Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, I had 7. I lost one in the pandemic because through COVID. But she had already had MS really, really bad.
Yeah.
And the benefit of that, again, I'm a big picture person. My dad, Reverend Bonds, he's passed away now, but I made sure we were. So she passed away, but again, she was a believer, so she gets to go home. So I look at it the opposite way.
Oh, that's so beautiful. So are you the only boy out of 7 sisters?
No, I have one brother in between them all. So he probably had more rough than I did. Yeah, I'm the youngest, but he's in between them. So.
Oh, you're the baby. Did everyone mother you?
Well, they said they did, but I don't think they did. That's a story. I'm not sticking to it, though.
I love it. My little brother says that, too. My sister and I say we raised him really well, but he never agrees with us. So.
Exactly.
No, I love that. That's such a great memory, too, something that you'll keep forever. Exactly. For me, a small act of kindness was something really practical, actually. I was on a plane trip flying a few months ago, and we were flying like bare minimum, like the cheapest flight we could get. My sister and I were separated. Yes. So I was in a middle seat between these two big guys sitting, on either side of me. And it was a red eye trip. So we were flying at 1 a.m. and it was a 5-hour flight. So, you know, we're all just like squished in there, trying to do our best to be comfortable. And so I was really trying to save space for these gentlemen that were, you know, bigger, and I wanted to make sure they were okay. And so I brought down the tray in front of me, and I had a little sweater. So I took that off and put it down on the tray and tried to sleep on it. But I kept shuffling in my seat and moving back and forth, trying to get comfortable. And after about 25 minutes, I feel a tap on my shoulder. And it startled me because you know how on plane rides, like kind of the unspoken rule is you don't make contact with the people next to you.
That's right. That's right.
So I was kind of startled, but this very sweet gentleman next to me didn't say anything. He just handed me, he had a fluffy jacket and he handed it to me.
Yes.
And awesome. He just handed it to me and I was like, oh, I can use this. And he said, please get comfortable. I hope you sleep well for the trip. And he didn't say anything else to me.
That's awesome.
It was such a random act of kindness that somebody was looking out for me that I didn't know and wanted to do something as simple as help me sleep better by offering what
they
had.
That's awesome.
I loved that. That's awesome. I thought that was such, I was like, oh, there's still good people out there.
Yes, they are.
It made me also want to be better about looking out for others myself, looking out for strangers and seeing what I can do to even something as simple as make them more comfortable in whatever environment we're at. So
that's right. That's awesome. That's a great way to look at that, actually. That's definitely something that people do things. We got to do things just because it's the right thing to do.
Right. Right. Yeah. And looking out for one another and you know, just being aware of other people, not kind of bogged down in your own selfish, like,
because that's right.
I was only thinking about my own comfort. I wasn't thinking about everyone else. So, yeah.
Exactly.
But it's nice to know that there's still some really awesome people out there just spreading kindness. But let's dive into this. I know we don't have a super long time, so I want to steal all the wisdom I can from you.
Awesome.
But talking about coaching our followers, so can you give us a little bit more about your background, your organization, and what you do as a coach?
Yes. I started coaching full-time in August of 2008.
Okay.
And my coaching company is a little bit different because I tell my clients, they know my belief is Jesus Christ, but also take clients from every other faith.
The only thing
I don't take is people who are atheists because you have nothing to be accountable to.
Okay.
So, you know, that's why I don't take, because if you're Muslim, whatever you are, whatever you believe, that's fine, but you got to be accountable to whatever you believe. Mm. And that's my personal belief. So my business is about 60% one-on-one and about 40% business coaching, sales training, leadership development, and so forth.
Okay.
So I have a lot of clients that are going through different things, from CEOs wanting to retire, what next? People, you know, in their 20s now. My client base is funny. It was like probably, I would say 30, 40 to about 60. And then in 2012, actually, as a matter of fact, some folks from a church in, Young Christian Professionals, actually, asked me to come in and talk to a few of them at the church I belonged to there in Florida when I was there. And so then I picked up my client base. Then we're from 21 to 68.
Wow.
So, as far as range, where I have clients are going through all types of things. And the one thing that I always do personally is for my clients is I always, again, whether they believe what they believe in, but my prayer is the same for every session before I speak, Lord, decrease me and increase you.
Wow.
Because I want them to hear what that says, Lord. Not what I have to say, because I have nothing to say without the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So that's what I really want to make sure that they get what they were supposed to receive, what they were assigned to receive. Before I was even born, they received that message. So I'm just honored that I'm able to be used for that. And so I have clients to go through from divorce to CEOs, relationship, CEOs retiring, people starting, what's the difference in a job and a career, a lot of leadership. What is leadership? You know, I had a lot of support too lately about what is leadership. And also, you know, since 2020, a lot of what is bias? You know, what is that about? What does it mean? You know, how should I look at that? And so a lot of people like that as well, too. A lot of people just really, and I unfortunately, too, since 2020, a lot of crisis counseling, a lot of suicide prevention. So it's been really, really heavy work for me. But my coach, I have a coach as well, is always making sure that I am sitting recovering. You know, I'm restoring myself. How I restore myself is I take long walks or runs and listen to the word. So I just kind of walk out, get in the middle of kind of a country road, just run or walk or run and listen to the word and speak to God one-on-one. And then just kind of have that time recovering and thanking him for even thinking enough of me to use me for my clients, because it's not about me. It's about my clients.
That's so good. And another example of servant leadership. That's why we love you so much. But I think it's very interesting that you have such a diverse group of clientele, especially in ages.
Yes.
I think it's awesome because a lot of times I think when people think of coaching, they tend to think of stereotypically maybe the CEO type who's getting business professional coaching. But really, as you've stated, it could be anyone on any part of their journey in life. And life gives us up and downs. So we're all at different stages at any point, but different ages, and just coming to you for wisdom and kind of cheerleading too on the sidelines. But yes. I also thought it was really interesting that you said that you have a coach, because you're one of the smartest, wisest guys I know. So so that just goes to show you too that everyone can use coaching.
Oh, yes. It's to me, I tell people, if you don't hire a coach or don't have a coach, run as fast as you can. because one thing my dad said, late Reverend George Bond always said, and it stuck in our head when we were kids, he said, when you stop learning, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So I look at that, and when you can't be coachable, can't be taught, you're in trouble as well, too. That's why I have two mentors as well, too, and I have a coach as well. But I think this, you know, it's so very important for us to know there's always something to learn. And so for me, that's when I sit back and try to pick up daily. That's why I read 40 pages a night of different books. I read like every night, I read about 40 pages.
Wow.
I want to make sure that I'm relevant to my client base. And I research things. I don't watch the news. That's the problem. I don't watch the news since, oh my God, just 1993.
Wow.
Yeah. I took a course with Stephen Covey back then. He recommended that we stop watching the news. I was like, okay, I'll do it. I'll start watching the news. And so, you know, but I read a lot to make sure that I'm, again, relevant to my clients and make sure I'm doing the right thing. Because the toughest thing about when I meet someone or coach someone, the intro session is our ego is our ego. So egos in the flesh is very powerful, but it's not all powerful. And so I have to be careful. My prayers are saying, because I get excited. I help the person out. And then I might have to remind myself, Holy Spirit, remind me, no, you refer them to another coach you know. I refer them out.
Wow.
Because it's not my lane. Because it's so important for us to stay in our wheelhouse, so to speak, in our gifts. And that's what I'll tell people. I'll interview you, might write a coach for you. I'm going to refer you to, I keep four coaches that I know and I trust.
Wow.
Interview with this person. I'm not the right fit for you. Because I'm the best coach on earth. I hang my hat on that. But I'm not the right coach for everybody.
Wow. Coach, that's so good. Yeah. And I feel like that's a good leadership lesson for any leaders, regardless of what industry you're in. You know, stay in your lane. We don't have to be good at everything or perfect at everything.
Yes.
That's a really hard-hitting lesson. So I'm going to go out of order a little bit in the questions that I sent you, Coach, just because I think this fits kind of next. It segues well into it. But what is the role of a coach?
The role, that's a great question. And it's something that I used to get when I first started coaching. I was kind of bothered by, honestly. And then, of course, got over it. Then got kind of bothered again, like in probably 2015, well, maybe 18, 19, because the coach market blew up.
Yeah.
And so my coach had to run back in again, my mentor as well, one of my mentors as well, too, because people started coaching because it was a cool thing to do. And that bothered me, because it bothered, from a stress standpoint, it bothered me, because I take coaching very seriously. People's lives are really here.
Yeah.
And so they had to remind me, you know, what did the Lord tell you to do? He told me to serve this particular meal on this plate. Oh, great. No one can do what you can do.
Yeah.
Therefore, if the great I am said you're the best, then you got to make sure you tell people that he said that you're the best. And so for me, it's one of the things where a coach is my gifting, is I listen to you and I tell you what you are already saying.
Oh.
I take it from you and I unscramble it.
Ah.
A mentor tells you what to do. A coach should not be telling what to do. That's not coaching. That's mentoring.
Or that's counseling. Okay. Thank you. That's a good distinction. Cause I was going to ask secondly, coaching is very different from, say, therapy, correct?
Yes. Way different, because, you know, I believe that before we're born, a blueprint is already given, downloaded into us from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so because the world is so noisy, not just like cars, but actually the earth is groaning because it's dying. Get too deep there, but it's growing. It's making noise.
Yeah.
So because life gets noisy, we can't hear. And because we have deficient friends around us, we have deficient people. I don't think there's bad, but I think there's deficient people.
Right.
And so around us telling us, because see, your circle tries to keep you where they are, whether they are meaning to it or not meaning to it or kind of unconsciously. So, but I think it's so important to get quiet and then go someone with that spiritual gift, which is what I coach people on. I talk to you 45 minutes and I tell you, okay, now this is what you're actually saying.
Ah.
And they're like, oh yeah, I think you did know it. But because life gets noisy, you told one of your so-called friends, and they said, that's a stupid idea. And then you back down. So now when I tell young people, when they ask me the difference in work and a job pays the bill. Mm-hmm. A work is what you were born to do.
Wow.
But the purpose of life is to always try to find your work as soon as possible. We can stop having a job.
Wow, that's so good. That's so good. I caught something you said too, Coach, that kind of stuck out to me, is that your circle will want to keep you where they're at. Can you go into that just a little bit more and explain that to me?
Yes, I think that that's something that we get caught up, because we're emotional beings in this earth suit that we have on. And I think the biggest thing with that is that you have to be very careful. I tell my clients to review your circle by 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. I review mine as well. Because you have some people who don't want to go anywhere, and that's their right.
Yeah.
But they also subconsciously don't want you to go anywhere.
Wow.
So
okay.
When you tell them your dreams and your successes, they get quiet. So now you think something's wrong with you, not realizing that, you know what, I've outgrown this person. Because as the Lord elevates you in your life, as you elevate, the air is too thin for some people to go with you.
Wow, that's good. I love it. That's so good. Actually, Coach, that really reminds me too. I don't know if you've ever read The Dream Giver.
Oh, yes.
There's a character in that book, now that you're saying yes. that reminds me that he wants to keep the guy back because he's,
exactly.
yes, he's uncomfortable.
Yes, that, and, that, and funny because I actually use that book when I coach some people as well, too.
Oh, do you?
I'm like this huge group of friends. That's why I recently, because I believe, and my dad told me this is where I got it from, but the answer to everything you have or going through, somebody's already written it down somewhere.
Yeah.
So you got to go read where it is. Because that, yeah, because like, because, and it's funny thing about, because people do that, they're not bad people. They're not really mean to you. They just like you with them, and they prefer to keep you comfortable with because they're comfortable.
Wow.
So they're not even, sometimes, it's not even conscious. It's subconscious. And so I think, well, we have to make sure that, see, but people get, we get, because we're emotional beings again. I don't want to leave, John, because John and I've been friends since high school, since junior high, since elementary. That's fine. You can still love John, pray for John, but you can't tell John your dreams anymore.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's good coaching. It really is.
Yes.
And
yes.
Sometimes too, you just need an outsider, somebody who's not in your circle to tell you that.
That's right. Exactly.
And like you said, it's probably something you kind of were already aware of. And
that's
then
right. Yes.
You just needed someone to be like, hey, and sing it out.
That's right. Because you have an emotional connection to John. So yeah. I'm not saying you have to leave John.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you have to love John from across the street some days. not cheek to cheek.
Good. That is so good. So why is coaching important for growth? And I mean important for growth. Now that we've been talking, we know it's not just important for CEO's growth. You said you coach people through like suicide issues, through a lot of different issues.
Yes.
Just
yes.
For a general person, why is coaching so important for us?
Because every person on earth, again, my professional opinion, every person on earth wants and needs to be heard.
Wow.
What I mean by that is that they need to hear themselves, especially because when we talk, we're talking out there. And so coach, my style of coaching, I tell you what you're saying to yourself. And I tell you, and I explain to you why you can't hear what you're saying.
Wow.
Because of those friends, because of that circle, because of that pattern you saw, because of the model you saw. I tell you what you're saying. I had a young lady years ago, and she also young, but she's probably in her 40s, and she's getting ready to retire military since she was 17, 18 years old,
wow.
Struggling. And so when I had to realize, I told myself, you have not forgiven your mother. And she says, well, I said, yeah, because this is what happened to you. Her mother sold her for $10 worth of drug. She was, I think, 12 years old.
Oh.
And so she was abused by a gentleman who bought it from her mother. And she escaped after a few weeks, and she ran home.
Mm.
Now, and she was frustrated. She said, why did I run home? Because you're a child.
Yeah.
You ran home because that's what your spirit told you to go home.
Yeah.
Because that's what you knew home. Got home, was there maybe a month, so mother sold her again.
Oh.
And so this day, years ago, back in the old days, because you're a young person, but this had truant officers. So the second time she escaped, a truant officer caught her in the street. So they sent her to a juvenile home. Then she went to go into foster care.
Mm-hmm.
And so through that process, foster care, experience there, no issues there, go military and retire from military. But she had never sat down and just listened to herself because her spirit was telling her, that she's a believer,
yeah,
telling her, why does she dislike her mother? And I said, this is what you got to understand from a spiritual perspective, because this is spiritual things happen all around us.
Yeah.
Your mother has never sold you. He says, I said, no, your mother didn't sell you. The demonic oppression sold you. You have to get your mother in your mind, and you have to release her from that responsibility. And she just couldn't stop crying. And she was like, I was like, your mother never sold you. You have kids now. She had, would you say, absolutely not. Your mother never sold you.
Oh, wow.
The demonic oppression that has your mother is what sold you. And if you don't believe, you know that's a real thing. It's not just, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
And they cannot, they're illegal on earth unless they have a host.
Mm.
And so your mother was the host because she was weakened at that point. So she surrendered and submitted to this. And so, but your mother herself has never sold you to anybody.
Mm.
So her husband told me what a Malaysians do. She's got so much release. I married her years ago, and now I have another. He said she's got so much peace. I'm like,
wow,
because she deserves peace. She deserves peace. But her, you know, the flesh is telling, oh yeah, your mom was horrible. You're gonna be like your mom. No. That's a lie from hell.
Yeah. You can break those cycles too.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So I said, luckily the Lord used it to keep you off of alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
Because usually you like to repeat it.
Right.
But now you have to release that other part. You have to release her.
Yeah.
So now you got to release this 135-pound person. So now you walk lighter.
Much lighter. Wow.
Yes.
Amazing. So it sounds like to me that coaching is so much more diverse than I think of it as. Because in my head, again, it's that CEO getting professional coaching, but it really sounds like there's a lot to be said for overall life coaching, like you do, coach.
Yeah, it is. And I was thinking, I'll tell a quick story about a CEO as well, too. I had a CEO call me on out West Coast when I got there. And first thing I asked him, he was just stressing out about it. First thing I asked him, I says, what is your secretary's grandchild's, one of them, what is their name? What is their birthday? He looked at me and says, what do you mean? I said, how dare you not know who's in your space?
Wow.
This person has access to company information, access to you, access to your schedule. How dare you not know that her family is your responsibility? Even her dog is your responsibility.
Wow.
He sat back in his chair and just broke down like, that's what it's about. That's what we forget. When you hire someone, you're responsible for their family eating.
That's true. Yeah. Wow.
I said, they're not just an employee. You're responsible. He's like, oh my God. I said, yeah. So I kind of had to get him in the chest, start now to get him ready for it.
That's incredible. Wow. Wow. So coach, what are some, for leaders, we're going to encourage all our listener leaders. If you don't have a coach, obviously Coach Bonds, you gotta check this guy out. We'll give them your information later. But, awesome. As a leader, we're coaching our followers, right? We're coaching those in our circle, those that we're responsible for because they're on our team. So what are some practical tips you can give us as leaders that we can help be better coaches for our followers?
Yeah. The first thing to do is when I teach my clients, I teach group sessions as well. The difference in hearing and listening, big difference, not even close to the same thing.
Yeah.
So when someone's talking to you, try a few things that we heard in the past, repeat what they're saying to you, and or write down key points they're saying.
Okay.
And then you just repeat back to them. So what I heard you say, was that right? Because they're probably going to say, no, that's not what I meant. But you have to listen because people will need to be heard. You can't help if you don't hear.
Yeah.
If you're listening, because the human brain, where we function in the United States, mainly, that we're waiting to speak. And that's a bad habit that we all have been programmed with pretty much.
Yeah. Guilty of it myself. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I did this huge program in California, and they were like shocked. I teach this technique. When someone's talking to you, it might sound, but I'm a big cognitive brain guy. I did research with a company called Lumosity.
Uh-huh.
If somebody's talking to you, you press your tongue to the roof of your mouth, not light, but just lightly. You actually hear, this is research for years, you actually hear 41% more of the conversation.
What?
That's scary.
That's insane.
Yes, they researched this.
I wonder how the
first lightly press to the roof of your mouth, you actually hear 41% more of the conversation.
That is insane.
That's insane.
I want to know who the first guy is who thought, let me put my tongue up here.
Yeah, exactly. And see, the reason is because they research, you know, on like people with disabilities. And so because we have five senses, what happens is that when you lose one, the others turn themselves up.
Oh.
That's why, you know, it's the person who can't see. Usually they'll tell you something, they can smell tremendously, smell better.
Yeah.
Because the other ones, it's 100%, so to speak. Let's just say that number for now, 100%. So one gets turned off. The other ones make up that. I'm like, that is crazy.
Wow.
But I've used it through, and people, they tell me, they're like, you are nuts. That works. I'm like, yeah.
I really want to test it now. know. This week I'm going to test it. I'll text you how much better I'm listening to people.
Please do. Please do. Not where it's impossible, but just lightly. You know, right. Because what your brain is saying is that you can't speak. So now it starts saying, well, I got to do something. I can't speak. So I got to either got to see what's going on more so, or I have to, it starts freaking out because he can't speak. Because your tongue is pressed. It's just, it's, I love things like that. It's kind of nerdy, but I love it.
No, I'm nerding out with you. I love that so much. That is such a great practical tip. Actually, Coach, I was reading your book. So for our listeners, you have to check out Discover Your Purpose, a guidebook for discovering purpose. This is Coach Bond's book. It's an easy read. It's very journalistic in style, so it's interactive. You can write it down. But in your book, you talk, there's a section where you talk about journaling. And I thought that was just such a huge light bulb moment for me personally, as a way to focus and kind of track your progress and everything. So can you explain why you think that's important? And because I think leaders can help their followers do that pretty easily.
Yes, I think I have all my, I make all my clients journal. I keep this again, 99-cent notepad, 99-cent store, if you got budget wise, whatever, but keep one, you know, in your pocket at all times, small one, or keep one in the car next to your bed. Whenever you have a thought that makes you think, just a thought, like what is, you write it down, write down the time.
Okay.
Also, if it's a thought that kind of disturbs your spirit, write down who you spoke to before you had that thought. The last person you spoke to.
Ah, okay.
Every Friday, you take that same 5 o'clock after work, 5, 6 after work, and you sit down and you read through what you wrote Saturday through Thursday.
Okay.
And then you realize, okay, now I was in my spirit. I was mad at this time, wrote this down, mad. Wait a minute, I talked to John that day. You know what? John had an argument with John. Okay, so now I got to make sure when I have an argument with someone, I've got to recover myself because apparently I'm off kilter.
Ah.
I never knew it.
That's awesome.
Yes, yes. Because we have thought, we have to make sure that I had a, you know, a weird thought or a bad, who I spoke to last before I had that thought. Gotta make, now you got to make sure that you protect your space. Did this person come to me? Is this person a close friend, a distant friend, or an associate?
Wow.
But it's a big difference because I got to make sure you know who you're talking to. Because you can't let that same, I got to know future. I should be aware of talking to this person before I lay my head to sleep. Because I'm going to have a restless night.
Wow.
Whatever they're saying to me is disturbing me.
Wow, that's so good. Yeah. So, Coach, are there any other practical ways that leaders can better coach their followers that you have for us?
Yes. Yeah, so one thing that you have to really do is, and besides, like I said, listening, and then so they can be heard, is also caring. As like one of my mentors, John Maxwell, says, people don't care how much you know to them, but you care. Mm-hmm. Meaning that when you like, so when you hire someone, you're hiring their family, but also make sure too that who, when the last time are you mentoring your replacement?
Wow.
Are you strong enough to mentor replacement? I tell you all the time, you have to find someone to take your job because that's what you're supposed to do, is mentor someone up.
Yeah.
That's nothing I would say as well, too. But also, too, just really making sure people know that they're wanted in your space.
Wow.
You know, that's when I tell, that's when I tell managers and C-suite people, go to your office one day. Our employees, thanks for coming to work today, and keep walking. That's amazing how much that they even said. I know you're paying them.
Yeah.
They have a job, but they don't have to be there.
Wow. I don't know why that makes me want to cry a little bit just to know that, like, to tell people that they're wanted, like, how simple but mind blowing is that?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And it's free.
It's free. But how, like, I cannot remember the last time a leader actually spoke those words to me, like, you are wanted. But
exactly.
Even you saying it just now, just casually in conversation, it wasn't even directed at me. My heart fluttered a little bit just hearing those words.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
It's such an easy, simple, but necessary.
It is.
Oh, wow.
It is, yeah. And too, I had a gentleman years ago. He was stressed now, just another CEO. And do something really, it was funny because actually it made social media, but he realized it wasn't me because the comment was, yeah, no, it was me. So I know when you, but it's funny because somebody recorded actually. I said, I want you to go to a store on the, you know, on one side of town where you live at. That's, you know, maybe, I don't want to say poor, but economically challenged is the right word for that. Go to the grocery store. I want you to tell the manager what you're doing. I want you to sit there for at least five or six people. I want you to, when somebody's up front, the kids are crying, it's a single mom, single dad, they're looking at putting something back and they ring it up, run by, swipe your credit card and take off running. The key to the running part was I need you to leave before you hear thank you.
Wow.
Because we're programmed people to say thank you. It ain't about thank you. It's about what's the right thing to do.
Wow.
So he called me after the second time. He's huffing and puffing. He said, Mr. Bond, coach, this is crazy. That's what he said, dude, this is awesome. I'm sitting outside. I'm shaking. I'm so happy because one person was starting to say it. I just said, la, 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 ran out the door. Because now I realize the reason I have this money is to give it away.
Wow.
God bless you so he can bless you. He didn't bless you if they count your money.
Yeah.
He blessed you to empty your storehouse to those who need it.
Wow.
And the biggest part, you don't need to know who needs it because he will guide you. And don't wait to hold the door for someone. Because we've all done it in our lifetime, you know, not even self-consciously, but held the door and no one said thank you. Or the attitude about it.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that about? It's just, they couldn't say thank you. Wow, excuse me. It's like, no, it's just the right thing to do.
Wow, that's so good. But also I feel a little bit convicted because I know I've done that.
That's right, yeah. But this is right. We've all done it. It's just the right thing. I tell my clients, just don't try to tune out thank you. And I appreciate, try to tune it out. Just do it because it's the right thing to do.
Wow, what a mentality shift, though, to get to the point where you're doing something because, like you said, it's the right thing to do. Like, going back to my story on the plane, that guy giving me his jacket, I was shocked. I felt like nothing like that had happened to me in a long time.
That's right.
Like you said, it's the right thing to do. Caring for the people around us is the right thing to do.
That's right. That's right. I had a lady, I was out cutting my grass, and she's going, I said, well, she said, what do you do? I said, teacher. So one day I stopped her in the car. I said, hold on a second. I said, I just wanted to say thank you for caring enough about our kids. She just pulled up and started crying. I'm like, what? I'm like, what? She says, I said, well, teacher for 13 years. I said, because you don't have to do that. You're not getting rich teaching.
Well, yeah.
Not. Sadly enough, you're not. But I said, I just said, think about that. Thank you for just caring about the kids to teach them. She just had to pull up and start crying. I'm like, what? She said, I said, well, I didn't mean to make you cry. She said, no, I have never heard that. I'm like,
wow.
But thank you.
Yeah.
I said, because you could have chosen another career. You have a college degree. You could have chosen another career to make more money.
Yeah.
But because you went with your passion.
Wow.
And sometimes also it is, like I said earlier, it's your work that God assigned you to.
Yeah. Actually, Coach, I do want to circle back to that really quickly because I think that is something our audience will really value hearing a little bit more about is no matter where we are in life, maybe we've taken a job because it was from a place of need or expectations or whatever the reason, and we've been working a job even maybe 20 plus years. Your book is talking about discovering our purpose, which is that work component. How, if we're maybe 10, 20 years into a career, what does that look like for us, Coach, to maybe start dreaming again or switching our mentality to look for that purpose?
Yeah, I would say it's funny you said it because I had a client back in 2012, CEO again out west and southwest actually. And so he's like, you know, he said, I heard about you, I was referred to give you a call. So he said, I'm dying. I'm like, what are you doing? I said, I'm dying. I'm like, okay, well, first of all, keep speaking that.
Yeah.
You're speaking it through life, speak life into it. I said, well, why? He said, well, I've been at this company for 30 years and I hate what I do. I'm sitting in my office like, I got to work. I'm like, what am I doing here?
Wow.
Hey, let's schedule time. Got him on a schedule. Went out there, saw him, I do either in person or video, never phone coaching. And so got out there, spent time with him, realized, started talking through the process. Okay, let's go back. I said, what was the first time you got paid for something that you gave to him? So think back as far as you can. He said, I was probably, man, 7 years old at a lemonade stand. I guess it was kind of fun. Okay, now, next job he had, she really, really liked to enjoy it. Junior high ice cream shop. Okay, next job he had, high school soda shop. Okay, next job he had, I did a little work at a soda shop and an ice cream shop in college. Okay, but you graduated college. I said, why did you not go into that business? He said, because my friend said it was stupid. We had a degree in marketing. Okay, so now let's break this down. I said, there, you have been operating in your talent for 30 years.
Wow.
And your gift is crying. That's why you're miserable. Your gift is crying.
Wow.
I say your gift is you like to bring people joy. Think about it, sir. I said, an ice cream shop. Close your eyes and picture with me. Ice cream shop does many things, but the two things it does, or the many things it does, is that children get to have memories built.
Yes.
Grandparents sit there and get to reflect on their childhood.
Wow.
I said, so that is your gifting to bring people joy. So do me a favor, humor me, because you have enough liquid to do this. Leave this office, go volunteer at a local ice cream shop, 4 hours a day, make it on Thursday and Friday and on Saturday if you can. And then we'll continue to talk, but we're going to, he did that for a month and was like, this is crazy. I saw what he said. I find myself leaving my office now at 3, getting there, clean up and make it to the tables. I sat down. He said, I'm sitting, I said, yes, because that's your gift. Now, you have to make a choice. You got to make a choice. It's your choice. I can tell you, I'll tell some things to do. I'm telling you what you're saying. You got to make a choice. You got to either start walking in your gift or stay in your town.
Wow.
So on his own choice, he sold his marketing company for a lot of money, bought an ice cream shop. His wife called me. She was crying. I said, man, I can't tell you what you're talking about because my contract for him and I, unless he sends me letters, I can tell you. She said, I don't care about that. All I care about, my husband's been gone for 30 years, and he's back. She said, wow. I get breakfast in bed. He's skipping to work. He's talking about the things at work, about kids in their life, about kids asking what they face. I said, that's because he's operating his talent for 30 years. And we all did. He was great at marketing, got out of college, went to a marketing firm. Owner said, look, you're the top producer here. I'm retiring. So I'm going to let you buy me out.
Wow.
So he bought him out and woke up one day, 57 years old.
Yeah.
And was like, what am I doing here?
Wow.
You're operating in your talent.
Wow.
And your gift is dying.
Coach, it's interesting, though, that talent, which we normally would think of as a positive, it is a positive. It's right. Something yes. You're good at. But when it's not your gifting or when it's separate from that, it could turn into something that's not good.
That's right. And that's the key, right? And the key is going to be, because I thought of this programming, we're programmed for happiness. And the word says nothing about happiness.
Yeah.
The word says joy.
Wow.
Joy is not happiness. See, happiness, something has to be happening for happiness.
Wow, that's good.
Joy is eternal. But that's the difference is going to be, we got to make sure that what are we doing to make the world a better place?
Wow, yeah.
What are we doing to make sure that someone else's day is better than our day, if we think our day is bad?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Someone cuts you off on the road. How are we going to learn to pray for that person?
Because
you don't know, tinted windows, they could be going to hospital, wife having a baby,
yeah,
whatever, but we immediately got, you jerk, and you wouldn't. Yeah. It's like, you never know. You know, you just never know. And if they're, even if they're doing wrong in the worldly sense, pray for them.
Yeah.
If the Lord speaks to their heart, you might save them. I've heard stories about just people that circles have been in, where people have told them that, okay, this person, I said thank you to the person at the store. This person actually found them on social media, said, I was going to commit suicide that day because you said thank you. And he said, God bless you. I said in my chair and I put it down and I didn't do it. I'm like, that's how simple
this
life is.
Wow.
Because it's not about us anyway. We are to go through this life giving our gifts away to people and going to bed empty. That's my personal thing, is go to bed empty every single night and go to bed void. But I don't want to show up with a bag of gifts on that day.
Wow, that's so good. So good. Wow, Coach, your preacher side is showing a little bit. I'm holding back on any minutes here. Our audience can't tell. I'm just like super, super happy. I haven't had a long conversation like this with Coach for a long time. So my love tank is like super full right now. I'm just loving my life. But Coach, as we're getting to wrap up here, thank you so much for sharing all your fantastic wisdom with us. But I want to ask you one last question, and that is, what is the best piece of advice that you've ever gotten about leadership?
The best piece of advice I've gotten would be from my dad, and also from my good friend Pastor Carl as well, actually. Best response I got is that remember that this journey is not a, the pain that you go through is not for you sometimes. And so it is to remind people that they're going to make it.
Yeah.
And so that's probably one of the best things I got is it's not about you. It's about someone seeing from the background, wow, he's been through this. He's still standing. What's it about? Then they start, what is it about? All of a sudden, now they hear this, wait a minute, it's about who is this Jesus guy? All of a sudden, now you've got that crack and you've got the enemy being pushed out.
Yeah.
You got this person understanding, like I said earlier, about joy. Now, happiness, take a back seat because that's part time.
Yeah.
Joy is full time.
Wow. That's so good. And such a good reminder too, because I think a lot of times we get bogged down with life and we start to internalize things and selfishly think, you know, everything going on. Oh, I have all this going on. But when we take a minute and step back and be like, you know, the pain is not for us. It's about joy, not happiness. It kind of shifts your mentality so that you do see things kind of big picture, like you were saying at the beginning of our conversation too. It's about the big picture. It's not necessarily about where you're at right now.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Because it's just this journey is going to be a long time. And our, like I said, our my goal is to make sure that everybody gets everything I have.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That is so good. Well, Coach, thank you so much for spending time with me today.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't want to edge my dad out or anything, but I was super happy that I had one-on-one time. I felt like I had my coaching in today.
Exactly. That's it. That's what it's about.
I'm happy he was a little bit under the weather, but I hope he feels better. But listeners, I want to encourage you, please, please, if you get a chance, go online, check out Coach Bonds's organization. Check out his book. It's called, again, Discover Your Purpose, a guidebook for discovering purpose. And it's by James Bonds. So you want to check that out. It's available on Amazon. Is it on your website too, Coach?
Yeah, just on Amazon right now. I'll get on
Amazon. Okay. And remind me the name of your, it's welldrivenlife.com, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Welldrivenlife.com. Correct. Yep.
Yeah. So everyone, make sure you go check out his resources. As you've heard, he's loaded with wisdom. I'm sure you can sign up for a discovery call. Look into coaching. It's necessary. It's helpful. It'll take you to the next level. And I'm not biased at all when I say this. Coach Bonds is the best coach. So so I say you go and check out his stuff. But again, Coach, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And if it's okay with you, we're going to have you back very soon.
Please, I'll be back. I just appreciate the Lakers family. You guys have been just, again, a blessing to me. And the biggest thing with this whole podcast is we're getting people that may not ever come to a church.
Right.
And that's the best part. We're making sure we're using our gifts and we're spreading around for free.
Yes. Yes, it's true. So listeners, thank you so much for being with us again this week. Make sure to come back next week and hear our next episode. And again, check out Coach Bonds, but we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Leadership You podcast. For more resources for leaders, visit our website at volunteeru.org.